It takes a leader who's confident in themselves. It takes a leader who's secure. You know, if you're insecure as a leader, this will not work for you. If you're insecure as a leader, you will be protecting yourself at all times. Hello, my friend, and welcome to this episode of A Call to Leadership. It's Friday, and it may not be Friday for you, but what day it is, it's the day that we get to spend time together, just you and I, in the trenches as we uncover one tool for your leadership tool belt. And we're studying a multi-part series on what effective leaders do. Not necessarily good leaders or bad leaders. That term can be arbitrary, but effective leaders, leaders that actually make change, leaders who exhibit influence. We're going to look at many different aspects of it. It won't be exhaustive. There will be other aspects of leadership on this program that we don't get into in this series. That's okay, because we go series after series, you and I, just spending time growing as leaders, aiming for greatness and serving others to really embrace the idea of what an irresistible life looks like as a leader and as a follower. So as we embark on the next stage of this conversation, we're going to talk about one aspect of leadership that's critically important, and that's the aspect of trust. Effective leaders are trustworthy leaders. We're going to talk through some areas on what makes an effective leader trustworthy and how you could integrate those aspects of your leadership and trust into the equation this week. Now, if you're binge listening, you may just have listened to the last episode. If you're doing it week by week, I always encourage you to just take a pause and consider and intentionally how I can make these individual characteristics a part of my daily life. It's not enough just to listen. You must implement it. You must take action, integrate it, have the intentionality to make it a part of who you are. That's really where learning manifests itself. Otherwise, it's really just a bit of a waste of time. If you think about it, if you just come in and listen to an episode and you're like, okay, that's cool, and don't really put it into practice, you're not getting the full breadth of learning and growing. So take it and own it. All right. So trust, boy, that's a big word, right? And so we wonder, you know, what makes us a trustworthy leader? Well, you know, one of the best ways to think about that is to think about you as a follower. Who do I follow and do I trust them? And sometimes you can, and there's all different kinds of trust and different layers of trust. But if we just look at it from perhaps starting in a business environment, what makes a leader trustworthy in a business environment? And Stephen Covey actually had a lot to say about this in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I referenced this in a number of other episodes. He talks about this concept of trust being built on two pillars, and it bears repeating. Two pillars. One is competence, and two is character. And so his argument is, and I tend to agree with aspects of it, that you must have a high level of competence in order to have one of those pillars for trust. And what is competence? It's really just knowing how and being able to do what you say that you can do. For example, if you have a construction business, you must be able to accomplish whatever it is. Maybe you're in the trades, maybe you do masonry work, or you do concrete work, you do finishing work, just down the list, plumbing, electrical, and so on. Your competence level will be one aspect of the trust relationship. Can you accomplish what your desired skill is in the way that you express that you can accomplish it? In other words, I set an expectation in my business that I can do this. And then my competence level will determine how well I can do that work. And that's one aspect of trust. Doctor, same thing, right? A surgeon, whether or not they have demonstrated that they've been able to help people solve their problems in that particular discipline of health, medical, an accountant, an attorney, an engineer, a frontline worker at Chick-fil-A. Any occupation requires a level of competence to perform the task or the behavior to the desired specification. Anyone. And your competence level increases with practice, with education, with actually owning it and taking it day by day and honing it. So you may not have a high level of competence in one area and you want to grow in that area. Well, you want to surround yourself with others who have high levels of competence. You want to then cultivate those behaviors, practice, 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 repetition. And this is old Aristotelian. People say there's all kinds of new ways. A lot of the old ways still work, right? Aristotle talked about the pathway to excellence is through repetition. It's through practice. So continue to practice and you will continue to improve. Practice, practice. I can't stress that enough. With this podcast, for example, I've recorded over 100 episodes. And if I listen to my early episodes, I had very little competence in podcasting, very little competence in interviewing. And even though I always found myself to be an effective speaker, whether it's in front of a classroom at a university or a group where I gave a speech or at my organization, or simply interview questions when I'm with clients. It's a completely different environment, the podcast environment. And so my early ones, now when I listen to them, I'm like, oh my goodness, Nate, geez, that was rough. The ums and the interruptions and the sounds and just learning over time how to approach those types of conversations in an audio format. And so my competence level increased with practice. And today, so much better. And my competence will continue to improve. Is there a point where you become so competent that you need no more practice? And it depends. I wouldn't say it's a hard yes or a hard no. I would say that it depends on the context. It depends on the industry. There may be a specific task that you perform that you've mastered or perfected. That doesn't mean that tasks don't change. That doesn't mean that abilities aren't needed to hone in different areas. But at the end of the day, one aspect of your trustworthiness, and this is what people will look at if they're going to follow you, is going to be, are you competent? Can you get the work done? But that's not enough. You can't only be competent. You must have, at least according to Stephen Covey, you must have good character. And what is good character? It's your ethos. It's your ethics. It's your standard of behavior and how it guides your decisions. Are you honest? Do you have integrity? Do you have a deception or ill will? Are you self-concerned? Do you have a desire to have all of your own needs met only and not the needs of the collective? Well, then your character may be in question. Are you the same person behind closed doors as you are in front of them? Are you the kind of person that people know if you say you're going to finish something that you will? Those are all character traits. Those are all aspects of your character. And so the example is, you know, Stephen Covey used the example of a doctor who's board certified, right? Super competent, has all of the techniques and years of procedures, but very low character. And so you go in, you need a knee surgery, so you think, right? And the doctor's like, oof, I think your hip's going bad too. So we're going to have to do some work on that, get some pins in there, all this other stuff. Turns out you don't really need the hip work. Maybe it's borderline. Maybe there's other things you can do. But his motive is self-profit. It's like this hip replacement, man, that makes me $100,000. I mean, we could just knock that out. Although you probably could go another 5 years and perhaps get rehabilitation. Can you trust that doctor? The answer is no. The doctor is not trustworthy. Why? Because the doctor is only thinking the doctor's needs, not yours. And so that doctor is not trustworthy. On the flip side of it, you may be in the company of a doctor who has tremendous amounts of character, honest, just someone with massive levels of integrity, cares about you deeply, wants to make sure that your needs are met, and has the same surgery, but hasn't done that surgery. In fact, the last time that doctor did perform that surgery was 25 years ago. And so the doctor's like, I can do this surgery. It'll be with the older methods that I did 25 years ago, but you need the surgery. Do you trust that doctor to do the surgery? You're probably like, no, you know what? I'm going to pass on you doing my surgery since you haven't done them in 25 years. I think I'll find someone who has been doing the surgeries, who has a high level of character to make sure that that's the right surgery for me. And that's a level of trust. So that's one of the ways we build trust. And in your own organization, your own environment, understand, where am I at with my own competence and character? You may not have technical skills. You may not need them. You may just need leadership skills, soft skills. You may need skills on influence and your competence level on that, plus your good character to lead the team to greater heights, because it's a collective effort, not just because you have a personal gain. Because you know that your win is their win and their win is your win, your level of trust, your people will trust you more. That's not the only ways that people trust you. Those are just benchmarks and those are foundational. Other ways you develop trust from an organizational perspective and in life in general, in your business, in your families, your communities, in your home, is through how you communicate what is happening in the environment. You know, trustworthiness is also being honest about the situation, sometimes having those hard conversations, those difficult conversations about where we are. Sometimes things aren't always rosy. And it's important not just to say, hey, everything is going to be optimistic, right? No, lay it out. If a person is faltering or failing in a certain area, don't just be agreeable. Be direct. Say, hey, look, you know what? We need to have a talk because we're missing it here and we need to find a way to get back on track. But we will find a way. We're going to find a way together. You see what that does? That does it. It takes the hard conversation, a difficult conversation, and it marries it to optimism. So we have expectation and hope. And actually, we just recorded an episode with George Roller. You'll love this. George Roller is a missionary, and he was talking about poverty mindset. And he was talking about how in Guatemala, where he's a missionary, he's found that he can help move people out of poverty by setting an expectation for their lives, explaining where they are in their current context, and then giving them hope as a fuel, if you will, with a strategy to help move them out of poverty. So this is a trustworthy leader because, and he's able to achieve it, by the way, and we'll get to that. So you can imagine in this environment, so if somebody's in a destitute environment, they're like, I can never get out of this. I'm in a poverty environment and it's like crabs pulling each other down. Nobody can get out. And so a guy like George comes in and he says, look, you're in a bad spot. You are in a bad spot, and you will continue to be in this rough spot for the rest of your life, and not only for you, for generations to come, as it has been for generations, right? That's reality. And so that's part of this trustworthiness in leadership. But let me tell you about what can be, right? Because hopelessness only sees things as they are, but hopefulness sees things as surely and brightly as they can be. And leaders, you leader, my friend, you are purveyor of hope. That is one of the main ingredients of optimistic vision, because we want to elevate our people to see a better future state that's attractive, that's worthwhile, that's achievable to them, that draws them in alongside of you to go forth and embrace it and conquer it. So we start with the current state. The current state may be bleak, but I have an expectation of you. I have expectation of us to reach that higher state. And for the Guatemala experience, perhaps it's not earning a PhD. Perhaps it's simply just learning a trade. And that, graduating high school, and that can be a high-level mark. It can be a high-level expectation. And then you marry that with the hope that this is a possibility that you can embrace and you can enjoy the journey. And I will provide a pathway for you, a strategy, and we'll build it together. You see, my friend, that is a person who you can trust. Why? Because they've outlined that they are first competent, that they know how to do the work, that they've succeeded. By the way, George has succeeded in this before. That they have the good character to know that it's for your best interest, and that I will be diligent in my integrity. I will be diligent in my honor and my honesty, my ethos, my ethics, and that we will jointly provide a pathway based on an expectation to achieve, and we have the hope that we will make this real. If that's missing in some aspect of how you lead, then it may be time to take inventory. It may be time to review. Am I a trustworthy leader? Your followers are looking at you. They're looking at you to see, is this the kind of person who knows where they're going. Do I want to go there? And do I believe they have what it takes to finish and hopefully finish strong? That's you in your environment. And this could be at work. When you're at work, what is your attitude? Is your attitude where people see that you're engaged, that you are leading the way in terms of how you develop your relationships? Do they know that you'll have those conversations with them maybe when things aren't the way they should be? Do they know that they can come to you? Because another aspect of this trustworthiness is your own vulnerability. Your own level of vulnerability is one way that people develop trust, because what you can do is say, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not always going to do things perfectly. So as a team, I'm going to give you permission to share with me in reverse feedback. I give you feedback, you give me feedback, this feedback loop, where perhaps my blind spots are and where we can move the needle forward together. Now you say, Nate, that could invite some really hairy stuff. You know, once my people know that they can just say whatever, and then I can get, you know, thrown under the bus, man, I don't know if I want to sign up for that. Well, the first problem is that you don't trust your people. You don't trust that your people are the kind of people that you've groomed to give you constructive criticism based on a mutual respect. They know that you're the leader. They know. When I'm in my organization, I'm constantly asking my people, hey, there's an area that I may not have the entire scope. I need you to help me, provide me with information so I can see more clearly as a leader. This just happened in my company just a few days ago. I was working with an issue, and I had someone who was leaving and moving on, and I had an issue where I didn't quite approach it with the protocol that was clearly communicated. And I had to go to one of my people and say, hey, look, you know, where am I missing this? I want to make sure that I transition this relationship as effectively as possible. Nate, here's where I see that there's room for you, right? And I implemented that. And does this person look down on me and say, oh man, Nate's, I don't want to follow this guy anymore? No, it's just the opposite. Wow, Nate, thanks for trusting me to share my experience with you to help this team effectively lead together. Now, you've got to discern that. You've got to know when it's appropriate and when it's not. When there's expertise in your group that you're able to magnify, you've got to know how to communicate and say, hey, look, if there's something that I'm not doing as your leader that you think that I need to be aware of, let's talk. Sometimes it will be a situation to where you'll listen and it'll be valid, and perhaps you'll have to make some recommendations and explain what's going on. Sometimes it'll be, hey, I really appreciate it. I'm going to take what you say and take it to heart, and I appreciate your input. It takes a safe environment, and you know what else it takes? It takes a leader who's confident in themselves. It takes a leader who's secure. You know, if you're insecure as a leader, this will not work for you. If you're insecure as a leader, you will be protecting yourself at all times. But if you're secure as a leader, if you know that no matter what happens, my effectiveness as a leader will not be injured because I'm transparent and vulnerable with my people. Now, of course, there's certain kinds of vulnerability that you want to be mindful of. I'm not saying just be vulnerable about everything. You as a leader must know what's appropriate and what's inappropriate in a business environment to share. And if you don't, you need a coach. And your coach will help you, right? I've got lots of students in my coaching programs, and they're constantly messaging me about this or that, an employment situation or a relational situation. And I'm walking them through with another set of eyes and ears on how to best move forward. If you're missing that in your life, and a mentor, you know, and sometimes you're like, well, I don't have the finances to pay for a coaching program. Well, then approach mentors who will help you. Listen to podcasts just like this. There's mentors, what we call from afar, who are people who will invest in your life and give you the tools you need and the resources you need to thrive as a leader. One of the first and most important aspects of your leadership is to recognize what effective leaders do. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're sharing this with me. So today's a day to begin to cultivate and build trust in your leadership, in your organizations, in your families, in your homes, in your lives. Well, my friend, we did it again. I'm so glad you joined me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. If you've been with me on the show, listening in, you'll know this. But if you're new, you may not know that I created a free course for you that you don't need to provide an email address. You don't need to go anywhere, but to stay right here in the podcast. I created the very first 6 episodes of the podcast because I wanted you to have the kind of value that you need to take advantage of to thrive as a leader. If you haven't done that yet, listen to episodes 1-6. I'll see you on the next episode. I'm Dr. Nate Sala, and this is A Call to Leadership.